Hello and welcome to SearchCRM.com. I'm Tim Ahrens, site editor of SearchCRM.com. And today I want to talk about the controversial practice of outsourcing contact center operations overseas, which is a trend that was predominant in the late 90s and into the new millennium, especially during the world economic crisis. Companies took advantage of the low cost of foreign labor, but in turn, sometimes frustrated and alienated customers who felt that the agent wasn't as knowledgeable about their needs, and not to mention taking jobs away from American workers during an economic downturn. So are companies reversing this policy and rededicating themselves to bringing contact center operations back to America? I sat down with Brandon Knight, who is a contact center consultant at the 2015 ICMI Contact Center Expo and Conference in Orlando, Florida, to talk more about this trend. So we are at the ICMI Expo and Conference at the Walt Disney World Dolphin Resort in Orlando. I'm here with Brandon Knight. He's the VP for consulting services for Corvisa. So welcome, Brandon.
Thank you.
It's great to be with you. And so we're talking contact center outsourcing, Brandon. And, you know, I think when everyday customers, when they think about contact centers, they think of someone over in India or someone overseas handling their call and their customer complaint. Mm-hmm. That's sort of been the trend in the past couple decades. But Is the practice of that dying, and can you just comment on where that's going?
Absolutely is dying. What I've seen in consulting businesses and in the call centers, the major operations that I've gone to, what we're seeing now is the customer, the end user, is demanding a change based on the level of service they're receiving. So what we're seeing now is where companies in the past made efficiency decisions, they made cost decisions. Now they're finding that the cost of attrition of customers, losing customers, is outweighing their savings of having an offshore center. And the we're just seeing across the board that customer satisfaction scores, net promoter scores for companies that are using offshore call centers is dropping dramatically. And so they have to respond. They have to respond because their customers are telling them, basically, we don't like it.
And that's typically been, like you said, cost has been a driver of businesses moving offshore. Are there greater costs associated with coming back to the United States, and are companies ready for that?
Actually, the cost in the labor and the office space, just the geography logistics, are some of the detrimental factors. So what we're finding is companies are looking more towards mobility. They're looking more towards virtual call centers. They're looking more towards work-at-home agents. We see several large organizations that have full staffs are work-at-home agents. So now companies are trying to do is they're trying to balance that cost. And since it's no longer going to come from labor, they're looking at what are other ways that we can cut costs and still have skilled labor. One of the ways to do that is to not pay for an office, not pay for a workstation and those types of things, not pay for large-scale connectivity when you have individual people working out of their home. Now, of course, that comes with its it comes with its own inherent things, because now we're looking at data, we're looking at security across those multiple locations, we're looking at, quite honestly, you're still managing people, and now you have the difficult task of managing people that you can't see. So we're definitely seeing some technologies come out of that. So technologies are coming out of how do you manage people, how do you manage a remote workforce, and those types of things. But we're definitely seeing companies do it. There's a major, just last year, a company that I work with, large-scale insurance employer, all in-house major locations up until last year. Last year they made a major push to go to work at home agents for that reason and to actually reduce their outsourcing staff.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, this represents, you know, a larger trend of you know, companies once thought it was okay to kind of go overseas, and now they're kind of coming back to the U.S. So besides cost, besides customers sort of pushing back against that model. What has anything changed from a company perspective with regards to the shift?
You know, it's funny because it seems like being focused on the customers is something the company should have always been doing. but honestly, over the last 2 years, you started hearing things like unified communications. You started hearing things like the customer experience and the customer journey. It used to be you did a satisfaction survey, and if your satisfaction survey was okay, your customers liked you, you know, no need to change. Mm-hmm. Now, I think because the cost of manufacturing, the cost of goods, the cost of providing a service is so high that customers are now putting money, time, and effort behind customer retention. Mm-hmm. And so before, where you may look at, well, 5%, 10% of our customers are reporting on our survey that they don't like the fact that our customer service is offshore, that it's in another country. And maybe a company, I can tell you that I've consulted with companies who had a 20 to 25% acceptance ratio of that. Mm-hmm. And it was okay maybe 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I can tell you from experience, those same companies right now, their acceptance ratio is closer to 8%. So they're realizing that's a reason a customer will leave you. Mm-hmm. And the cost of that customer leaving and gaining another one is too high. So it's really becoming a necessity now. I think there's also some things, I don't want to get too outside of the box with this, but some of the things I've heard from some customers also, quite frankly, is the patriotic value of it. You know, when you think the car industry and you say made in America, it means something to people. When you think the clothing industry, you say made in America, it means something to people. Traditionally, it's been acceptable for customer service to be outsourced, and it's be okay. I've talked to several owners in the last 6 to 9 months who say that when they're going out to acquire customers, and customers ask them, ourselves included, we have a network operations center. It's where it's where we view our data, it's where we manage our system, our network. And I talk to customers that we want to use our product, and I can tell you 8 out of 10 of them within the first 10 minutes of a conversation ask me where the knock is. So it matters.
It does matter.
Yeah.
I just had this thought. I mean, you know, the economy has, you know, come back a little bit in the past couple of years. Obviously, moving offshore was a measure to save money, you know, during tough economic times that this country has been through. Is that a factor in all this? And are companies saying, like, hey, you know, the economy's coming back, we're making more money, we can afford to kind of make this move and sort of pay our employees more and just, you know, bring things back to this country? Is that a big reason for these companies?
You know what? It's really funny that you said that, because one of the things we do, obviously, in addition to keeping stats on our consulting business, it's interesting that, you know, the economy was hit, and it was hit hard for everyone, especially from 2007, 2008 through 2012, almost into 13, right? But it was really a heavier impact on the financial industry. So what's interesting about what you said is what I'm finding is that while almost every industry it was acceptable to go offshore, there are really a lot of banks and insurance companies that went offshore with their customer service, more so than consumer-based businesses. And since they were the heaviest hit, that was an easy thing for them. With the recovery of our country, it's funny that you said that. I don't know if we could prove it out across the board, but I can definitely tell you that if there are 10 companies coming back from offshore to stateside, 6 of them are going to be in the financial insurance space. So they're really the ones that are recovering nicely and realizing that, it, you know, they, like you said, they can afford to have U.S.-based service, and they are still doing it. One of the major ones I actually saw about a little less than 90 days ago. They're another company that's they're bringing it stateside, but they're going to work at home as well. Mm-hmm. So they're finding a way to do it successfully.
And just to wrap up here, we were just talking about virtual contact centers for a little bit. Let's touch a little bit more on that. Obviously, in an offshore center, there might be a supervisor there to sort of you know, keep tabs on the agents. In virtual contact center model, you know, you could have work at home agents, you could have smaller centers with you know, as opposed to a big central hub, which a lot of companies are going away from nowadays. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it's really tough to have oversight of these employees and the costs associated with that, as opposed to the offshore where they had their, you know, sort of management infrastructure already there. Mm-hmm. Virtual contact centers, it's not really there. So I'm wondering about the cost ramifications of that, and whether companies have to reconcile wanting to bring operations back to the U.S., but maybe that comes at a higher cost, and whether that matters a lot to them.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a higher cost in labor, but ironically, what companies are using to manage work-at-home agents and even smaller facilities is technology. And technology, as scary as it sounds, technology is cheaper than the people, because you can get technology. It's a very funny appropriate story. One of my most recent clients was looking to get they have work at home agents, and they want them to use chat in addition to phone. So that, of course, adds a dimension for them to manage, because with a phone, at least you can see when I'm on the phone, when the person's on hold, when I'm not on the phone. With chat, we had to have technology that could show them an active window, because a chat person will have four to six chats open at the same time. They want to know by mouse click which one you're actually in, and you're not just having chat windows open and you're, because it's a chat. People don't expect the response to come as fast. So, but in all honesty, when you look at the level of supervision, having a supervisor in a facility who can look at a dashboard and via technology see agents that might be spread across several different states, what state they're in, versus forcing those agents to come into one place and that supervisor looking at them. Because again, when you're talking some of the things that people are trying to gain by coming back to the states, you also have quality of life. So people, getting a person to work from home, telling them that they don't have to get in a car, they don't have to take mass transit, they don't have to travel every day, those are good selling points. So you can get highly skilled staff to work at home, and you can use technology to monitor what they're doing.
Great, Brandon. Well, this was a great conversation, and thanks for joining us, and enjoy the rest of the conference.
No problem. Thanks a lot. I am going to join the conference. I hope you do as well.
And for more on contact center trends and news and other issues surrounding customer service, be sure to check out searchcrm.com. I'm Tim Ahrens, and thanks for joining us.